First of all, thank you very, very much for inviting me to this podcast. Absolutely honored to be here. My name is Amit Ghosh, and I was born with a rare genetic condition called neurofibromatosis type 1. It's a condition that many people cannot even pronounce, let alone understand. It's more commonly known as NF1, and it causes tumors to grow on nerves. They can grow anywhere in the body, but for me, they grew predominantly on my left side of my face, which caused me to look very visibly different. And in terms of my journey, I mean, school was very, you know, we can go into a lot more detail on this, but school was very, very difficult for me growing up. I knew that I had to sort of find ways to navigate my life. And one of the things I did very early on is try to embrace my personality and use that as a shining force to keep moving forward. But, you know, and my family were a huge support because they never really treated me as if I had a condition. You know, they dealt with me just, they dealt with all my other siblings. And that allowed me to just get on with life. I went to school, went to college, went to uni, got a job. 15 years I've been working in sales, got married last year. And my wife kept saying to me, why don't you share your journey online? You know, why don't you create a TikTok channel? Why don't you create a YouTube channel? Why don't you do something? Because I think you can really impact people's lives positively by sharing your journey of living with a visible disability and how you've overcome challenges. And she kept nagging me, and you know, as wives keep nagging you, you just get on, you just do it, just to shut them up sometimes. So I created a TikTok video telling the world, this is who I am, this is the condition I have, and I want to help, support, and inspire people with my story. And the feedback I got from that was absolutely extraordinary. Within 24 hours, that one video got over 100,000 views. At one point, my TikTok was growing by 2,000 followers a day. So I was like, I had no idea what was going on. And I was getting so many messages from people, you know, so many beautiful messages, and some we can touch on during this interview. But it was incredible. And then all these newspaper articles, all these social media companies that make short films started contacting me. And, you know, about 2-3 months ago, I Googled my name and there was like over 50 news articles from around the world of people that were sharing my journey and what I've done. And then schools started contacting me. And suddenly I'm here talking in schools about my journey, about how I've overcome resilience and how I've become resilient. And it's hit me like a ton of bricks in the last 6 to 8, 9 months. You know, I never thought I'd be doing this to a point where now I want to do this as a full-time career. I want to keep creating content. I want to keep going to schools, helping young minds understand differences, diversity. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's, I've kind of given you a 50,000 foot view of what's happened in the last 9 months, but it's been an incredible journey. And I'm so excited about what the future can bring. You know, I've just handed in my notice. You know, that's breaking news. You're the first podcast to hear that.
Amazing. Thank you for that.
So I've handed my notice and I'm going to be starting doing this myself. I'm going to be moving forward, and I'm going to be doing all this, you know, disability advocacy work myself.
Amazing. And how does it feel in terms of your journey of self-acceptance? Because I know that disability can be quite, it's something you, like, I know I find it, like, I internalize it a lot, and I think it's I used to think it was my fault that I was disabled, and like, I'm a problem. For you, how's it been in terms of coming to terms with the fact that you are a disabled person and you are different from other people?
Yeah, you've made a really good point there about, you know, it being my fault. Growing up, a lot of people in my community made it feel like it was my fault or my parents' fault, especially about this thing about karma and, you know, what my parents have done in their life for me to be born like this. And this idea that why me always affected me. Although I'd go to a party, I'd go out, I'd go to school, and I'd show the world that I'm this confident person who is just getting on with it, I would come home and I'd look in the mirror and I would cry. I would cry because I wanted to be like those other children. I wanted to be like that other guy in college who all the girls were talking to, or, you know, he was quote unquote perfect. But the journey to acceptance really happened, you know, and there's a little bit of a story around this. When I met my wife, I would be talking, she was from India and I was from England, and we would be talking on FaceTime and WhatsApp video calls, and I would cover the left side of my face. I would only show her the right side of my face. So I'd hold the phone in a certain angle that she can only see the quote unquote again, the good side, the better side of my face. And she one day said to me, after about 2 or 3 weeks of this happening, she said, "Amit, if I'm going to marry you, I'm going to marry your whole face. I'm going to marry the entirety of you. I'm not going to marry just half of your face. So I know what you're doing. Stop showing me half of your face and own it. Show me all of your face." And at that point, I realized two things. One, that she's the most perfect person for me, because even before I've accepted myself, she's accepted me. But two, it gave me this idea that, oh my God, I haven't even accepted myself. So how the hell can other people accept me? And if you go onto my social media, if you see in my Instagram accounts, anything like that, before the 9 months, before all this happened, all my photographs, all my videos, all my content is from the right-hand side of my face. I cover the left-hand side of my face because I hadn't accepted it. But now I have accepted it. Now I've accepted it and I've said, this is me, this is who I am. Take it or leave it. So it's that journey of, you know, when you realize that this is who you are, this makes you who you are. You start to sort of evolve and go into a different journey in your life.
And I get the impression that TikTok and social media has played a massive role in supporting you to feel more comfortable in yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, never in a million years I thought I would start creating TikTok videos or becoming so, you know, someone on social media. My social media was only for friends and family. But that first video I created and you know, the response I got back, I mean, one of the responses that really changed me and really made me decide that this is categorically what I want to do was when this lady, young girl from South Africa, messaged me on TikTok and said, "Hey, love your content. I also have an F1, but they're on my thighs. And I love swimming. But whenever I go on a holiday or go out with my friends, I never have that courage to go swimming because I feel as if they're going to judge me." And we exchanged a few messages, and I spoke about, you know, do you really want people around you who would judge you for a few scars that are on your body? Are they truly your friend if they're only judging you by, you know, what your physical attributes are? And I said to him, although you need to think about this, that they probably don't even think about your condition, that they're your friend, they're seeing you as a human being. And we had this conversation back and forth for about, you know, 7, 8 minutes, and then that was it. And I thought that was it. 2 weeks after she came back to me, and she sent me a screenshot of her Facebook status, and it was her in a swimming suit on holiday saying, "I have neurofibromatosis and I'm proud." And for me, that was the turning point, that if I can impact someone's life like that just by sharing my story and my journey, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. And it was beautiful. And I use that now. I say to myself, and I say when I go on talks, I'm visibly different and I'm proud. And that proud came from that young girl's message that she sent me.
And do you think that as a society we've changed a lot in terms of how we view disability and the challenges that disabled people face, or do you think we still have a long way to go?
I think we have a long way to go still, in changing people's views, perceptions, mindset. But we've started the conversation now. We have come further along than we ever did before, and I think social media does play a huge role in that. And there's some great advocacy charities out there who are trying to push and promote this. One of the things that I always talk about, and I'm really passionate about, is media representation. I think that there needs to be still more better media representation for people with visible differences. We need to be seen in movies just as a character rather than the character who has a visible difference or the character who has a scar who is a villain. But now that we're having these conversations, now that these conversations are happening and people are openly talking about it, it's opening people's minds to be far more accepting, I think.
And the barriers that you've talked about there in terms of the representation and the views that people have about being visibly different and having a disability, do you how have they influenced your life, and how have they shaped the kind of the ethos and the way your outlook on life now?
It was different a few years ago because people always gave me this impression that I I'm unable to do things like, oh, because you have this condition, you can't do X, Y, and Z. You can't feature, in our at work, oh, you can't feature in our promotional video. Or the other side, you'll feature in our promotional video because you've got this condition and it's going to make us look good. It's not because you have the credibility to feature in this video. But now, with the journey I've been on and the acceptance and understanding that it starts with the self, rather than me wanting others to accept me or others to think of me in a certain way, because I've started with myself, it's changing. And I think if we all do that and we all start sending that message out that it starts with you, then things are going to start to progressively change.
And I think what you spoke about there is really important in terms of like that social model of disability. I think so often we can focus on the medical model, which says that like as a disabled person you need to be fixed and you need to be the one to change your life to fit into the world around you. But as you said, like being disabled and having a visible difference doesn't necessarily define you. It's part of your life and your story, but it also helps you have a different outlook on life and helps you shape what you want to do moving forward.
Exactly. I say to a lot of people that people with disabilities also have a favorite Netflix series, just like everyone else. We're all human beings and we're all different. And that's what makes this world a beautiful place, and that's what needs to be celebrated. I say in a lot of my talks that we are all different and we need to celebrate difference.
Just out of interest, what's your favorite Netflix series?
I used to really like How I Met Your Mother. That was like
Oh,
my go-to, but they've removed that from Netflix now, which is really sad. But I watch Big Bang Theory all the time, literally, even though I've seen every single episode like 100 times. Whenever I'm having lunch or dinner, my wife hates me for this, but I have to put my phone on and put Big Bang Theory on because I just can't eat without that playing in the
love that.
background.
In terms of things like activism and the way that you're now using social media as a platform and going into schools and educating young people on how to view disability and how to view visible difference and stuff like that, what work do you think needs to be done to change that stereotype and that negative into something where we can learn from it and not necessarily name and shame people, but educate people on the journey?
I think it's continuously having these discussions and these conversations. People often shy away from having these conversations because they feel like they might end up offending somebody. I mean, I've been into a lot of corporate spaces where I've spoke about diversity and inclusion, and the feedback I've got from the people asking me to do these talks has been like, Amit, we're scared we're going to say the wrong thing. How do we address somebody with a visible difference? Is it okay to ask? So it's this, it's not ignorance, it's this fear. It's this fear of saying something that they think that might offend the other person. So the more we start having these conversations, the more people start talking about this, going into organizations, and people with lived experiences talking about it. It's all good, someone coming in and doing a diversity and inclusion workshop in a professional setting. But if someone with the lived experience is coming up and opening up and talking about it, I think that's what's going to make the difference.
So in terms of the action that people can take to be allies and to help change the narrative, what would you say to someone who wants to help and wants to change that conversation? What
Be
can they do?
authentic. Be authentic. Be yourself, and start speaking up. Don't have that fear of speaking up and opening up. I wrote an article on LinkedIn about 6 months ago, called "I'm Visibly Different and Proud." And before that, I'd never opened up about my condition in a professional setting at work or anywhere else. And that one article, got so much traction out in my job, in my company, and externally. So opening up and being authentic, being yourself, is gonna be the starting point of what's gonna create this change and this acceptance that we're all looking for.
And in terms of moving forward, and I know you spoke about wanting to do, you're doing the public speaking full time and you're wanting to really hone in on advocacy work. What is your goal for the future moving forward? Is it to reach a certain amount of people? What are you looking for in the future?
I think what I want to do is reach as many people as I can and inspire as many people as I can. Disability or no disability, we all struggle with insecurities. We all struggle with confidence and self-esteem. And one thing I've realized from my lived experience is that confidence is something you can learn. Nobody's born confident. You have to learn, practice, and perfect confidence and being successful. So my goal is now to share that story with people and help people, because, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, when I started doing this, oh, how are you going to earn a living from this? You know, is there any money in this? And I said, it's not about that. It's about the value I can create into someone's life. When I start creating value, the money and everything else will fall into place when it has to. And I'm a strong believer in that. And, you know, like I said, I left my job. I don't know where my income's going to come from for the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 months, however long. But I know with conviction that I'm creating positive value in people's life. So that's what I want to do. I want to just keep sharing my story to help support and inspire people. I'm really fortunate enough to be going to America in April and speaking at a neurofibromatosis charity foundation about my condition. And all this has happened because I started to open up and be authentic and be real. Excuse me.
I saw a post on your LinkedIn page a few days ago where it was a photo shoot that you did with your wife.
Yeah.
For you, how does it feel when you post sort of content like that and you have to be vulnerable and you have to be like your authentic self? Does it still give you a sense of nervousness, or are you in a place now where you feel comfortable doing that?
Bit of both. I feel nervous still about being judged, but I think about the bigger picture of what implication these posts can have on people's lives. Mm. About the normality. I mean, that very post got, you know, I got so many people sending me DMs after that saying, thank you for that post. It gives us hope that, you know, if you can do it, if you've got this successful relationship, you've found love and, you know, you're getting on with life.
Yeah.
Then, you know, what's stopping us? So it's that impact that it creates in people's life that motivates me to sometimes put myself in vulnerable positions.
And when people come up to you and want to talk to you about disability, I know for some people it can be quite difficult and quite triggering. And when people approach you wanting to learn more, wanting to speak about your visible difference, how does that make you feel? Does it give you with a sense of like dread and anticipation of what might happen?
I get really excited when people start asking me about my condition, because the last thing you want, and I posted about this a lot when I started my journey, is people staring. I get that a lot in bus stops, in train stations, in public places. People just stare at me, and I would rather someone, and it's different for everyone, I'd rather someone come up to me and say hey, and I'd say hey back to them, and I'd smile and have a conversation and tell them what's happened to me. So I really, really like it when people come up to me and ask me what's happened or what's wrong and what this condition is about, because it gives me an opportunity to teach them. And when they see someone else with a visible difference, it gives them that opportunity then to actually be more open and accepting about it.
And I suppose it comes back to that fear, because I think, like, I remember when I was growing up, I used to have I used to shave my head and it would make my scars visible.
Mm.
And when I had my brain tumor, and I would be working at I worked at Primark for a short period, and I remember the stares of customers who, when you're serving them and stuff, and it's that horrible awkwardness around what do I say, how do I ask him and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think what you said there is so important about it educates, and it helps provide that future education so that they can carry that forward.
Yeah, exactly, because I've trained myself over the years to be confident about it, but there's other people out there who are a lot more vulnerable. So if that person can learn from me, and then next time they see someone with a visible difference, just give them a smile, that smile will go a long way.
And I guess, does it help bring hope back to your story around when you were growing up and you had that feeling of like and sense of I'm different and I need to change to fit into the world? Has it changed that and given you hope that things might be better moving forward for not just yourself but other people?
Things will get better. It'll take time, but it's given me a lot more hope now that we can create this change. And we need to be the flag bearers. Sometimes people with the lived experiences need to be the flag bearers to say, look, we can create this change. We can bring normality to this kind of subject. But yeah, it gives me a lot of hope. If you asked me 1 year ago, I'd probably answered very differently. But given the scope I've created just by opening up and being my authentic self, I think, you know, we can definitely create change.
And if you could give one piece of advice or one call to action to any disabled person listening, what would it be?
Be yourself, be authentic, be real, speak from the heart. This is the things I've done and it's changed my life. Look at, you know, you're not going to accept yourself on the very first day when you look in the mirror and say, this is who I am, I own it. You're not going to. It takes time, but you need that self-affirmation consistently. You need that self-belief consistently. And the more you start believing in yourself, the more you start telling yourself that I'm good enough, I've got this, you'll start believing it and putting it into action eventually. But don't give up just because it hasn't worked in the first week, first month, first 6 months. Don't give up. You can do it.
And similarly to someone who's non-disabled who might be listening, what would you say to them? What can they do to help challenge the stereotypes and move things forward to that place where we want to be?
Just treat everyone as human beings. Because at the end of the day, that person with the disability, like I went back and said, they also have a favorite Netflix series. Maybe talk about Netflix rather than talking about their condition. Maybe talk about cricket. Maybe talk about sports. Just be yourself with everyone. Treat that disabled person just as if you treat your best mate. One of the things that gave me strength and made me who I am today was the fact that my family never brought up my condition. My father never brought up my condition and made my condition a reason of why I can't do something. I got scolded for not doing well in my studies, just as if my other siblings got scolded. If I was sugarcoated as a child, saying, oh no, he's got neurofibromatosis, let's just let him be, then I think I would have been that person in the back bench, just feeling sorry for myself, saying, yeah, this is me and what can I do? But so is that just treat everyone as human beings?
I don't know if you've watched the film Patch Adams, but in that, when it's a doctor in America, and in the film he's played by Robin Williams, and in that he's being questioned by medical professionals about why he's opened up his home to treat other vulnerable people and to help people. And he says, if you treat a disease, you win, you lose. But if you treat a person, I guarantee you, you win every time. And I think that for me has always stood out. And like when I remember when I started doing public speaking and sharing my lived experience, I think for me, it was always about, yes, the medical stuff is there to help me feel better and to alleviate some of the symptoms. But I'm always going to have the effects of having had a brain tumor, like a physical weakness down my left side. That's always going to be there. And to treat me any different actually negatively makes me feel like I'm less than, or I'm not human. So I love what you said there about just treating them as human.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Amit, for joining me today.
No, thank you. It's an absolute pleasure and honor. Thank you so much.